So I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to your verse, Shady Springs, your verse tonight. It's in the book of Psalms, in Psalms chapter number 47. I want you to look and see if you can find Psalms 47. When you find Psalms 47, I just want you to cast your eyes down upon the scriptures and look at verse number 1. Just look at verse number 1. Just look at it. And I'm telling you something. I'm telling you something. This Bible says, you know, this is an amazing thing. Brother Gallagher walked up here and he said, for all of the new improvements that we've made on the campground, let's clap our hands. You know, while he was standing right up here behind this pulpit, he said, for all the good cooks that are on this campground, let's clap our hands. You know, I'm telling you, before it was over, we were not only clapping our hands, but we stood to our feet and honored the chairman of our camp for what a wonderful job he's doing. But I'm telling you, if you really want to talk about improvements, and you really want to talk about feasting, and you really want to talk about somebody that's in charge, then I think I got the right verse tonight. It's what it says. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now listen, let me tell you, I know what the word clap means, but do you really know what the word clap means? I mean, we're not talking a gentle pat on the head for your favorite cat. And we're not talking just bringing our little hands together, patting them ever so gently so we don't ruffle the feathers and we don't have to get a little bit out of context of our demeanor. I mean, when the Bible at this particular place said clap, the Bible, according to Strong's Concordance, said slap your hands together. Clatter your hands together. I want to tell you something else. I want to tell you what that word shout means. Oh, we know what the word shout means. It means no preaching. We know what it means. I mean, we had a shout down. We know what the word shout means. We know. You know, you didn't get the trash. We know what the word shout means. We know how to do that. But did you know that Strong's Concordance said that that word shout means to split the ears with sound? Did you know that the word triumph means a shout of joy? And this is the best part about it. I mean, I was so thrilled when my wife found this for me. She was typing in her little laptop computer and grabbing the dictionary. Did you know the definition of triumph is just victory? The definition of the word triumph is success. And the definition of triumph is achievement. So I want to give you something a little different here. Oh, clatter and slap your hands and have an ear-splitting sound under the glory of God for the victory and the success and the achievement of what God has done. Now listen. Whoa! My God! It's enough to make a Baptist seek the power of God. I'm telling you, I'm well aware of this, but plain and simple, we drag too many times into our worship services. Too too many times we just barely put one foot in front of another when we make our way to the house of God. I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many people were too busy to even come to church tonight? How many of you were so wore out that you couldn't hardly drag yourself to church tonight? I know it's hot. But how many times do we walk into the house of God and find ourselves giving ourselves more credit than we give Him credit? The very purpose, reason, victory, achievement, and success that we've ever had. Hey, listen. We just plain and simple in our holiness churches, in our Pentecostal churches, we come into these solemn assemblies and look like we're fixing to bring God into our service, wheeling right down in front of the pulpit, open the casket, and march around and look at what He used to do, what we used to feel, what He used to have, what He used to give us, the way that He used to bless us. But I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. I don't believe for one instance that this young generation has to look at a church world that's forgotten what it's like to be slain in the Spirit. I don't think a baby in this house has to grow up among a holiness bunch of people and don't know what it's like to see somebody shout the dance of victory in the aisle and be healed by the power of God even while they lift their hands in the holy house. I don't think it's necessary for us to sit here and die on the vine. I don't think it's necessary. Now listen. I want you to get ahead of me. But I don't think we come sometimes to the house of God with the right attitude. Nope. Listen, I don't mean to be crude and rude and controversial, but if you're waiting for the exact service where the furnace or the air conditioner is exactly to everybody's liking, you might as well forget it. There's some people that's going to fan. I mean, if they're sitting right in front of a hurricane coming in their direction, they're just going to. They're just hot-natured people. There's some people that are cold. They're going to bring every quilt, every blanket, every sweater that they can possibly find, and they're going to wrap themselves in it because the place is too cold. And that's really what's amazing to me. Sometimes they're in the same service. It's just too cold on one side and too hot on the other. I'm telling you, sometimes we come into the house of God with the wrong attitude. I really didn't come into this building tonight wondering who was going to be here or who wasn't going to be here. I came into this building tonight with one thing on my mind, and that is triumph. I was thinking about the victory, and victory doesn't depend upon who's sitting beside you or who ain't sitting beside you. Listen, I know it gets too loud for some folks. I know it does. The other day at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle, we was having Sunday school class. Somebody pulled up on my church parking lot, parked their vehicle, turned their motor off, but not their radio. And I'm telling you, it sounded like 14 pacemakers all going off at the very same time. I had folks in my church looking around, waiting for the stampede. It had to be 1,000 buffalo. Come on, the savage would have loved that. It had to be 1,000 buffalo coming down the drag, heading straight for my church. I bowed up like a banny rooster, shot out that church like I owned West Plains. I do. Stepped out there in the parking lot, walked up to the individual that was sitting there in the car, and I said, can I help you? And they said, no. And reached over and turned off the radio, and I said, well, I just knew you was out here and thought you might need somebody to come and check on you. Don't everybody jump up and shout at once. I'm not talking about that kind of racket. I ain't talking about that kind of racket at all. But I'm telling you, when we come to the house of God, when we lean back and start using too loud to be an excuse, I got a Bible verse that says, you ought to come to the house of God and give it everything you've got. you let your children and youngins and grandkids scream around your house until you live on nerving. We come to the house of God, and the loudest thing that we hear is somebody blowing their nose on the tissue. I'm telling you something. This Bible said, you come into the house of the Lord, and when you get there, you clap your hand, and you shout with a voice of victory. Well, I'm going to tell you something, hotshot. I'm not going to do it. Well, let me tell you something, cold shot. We know it. But we haven't let you bother us in the past. We haven't allowed the wet blankets of Pentecostalism to put out the fire that's a burning and a shut up in our bones, because we recognized a long time ago everybody wasn't going to like it, but if God likes it, everybody's not going to participate. But when the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have His way, you can expect a visitation. Pray, sweetheart. I'm starting to feel dangerous. I got a controversial streak running up and down my back right now. I'm telling you, I have watched in horror across our countryside as we've pulled our guts out in revivals, taking 6, 7, 8, or 9 nights just to get excited about the fact that we was in a meeting, only the next day to watch evangelists pull out of town. I've gone across this countryside and went into camp meetings and stood behind pulpits that I told my wife on the way home, boy, it's hard to preach there. Boy, it's tough to preach there. There's enough spirits in that room to chase 27 devils off, but I'm afraid some of the spirits was calling 27 of the devils in. But I'm going to tell you, there's been a few times that I've walked into the house of the Lord, and the saints in one mind and one accord went to worshiping the Lord, and it made everything worth it. I'm really feeling dangerous. Brother Savage, somebody pray that knows how to get a hold of God. But I don't think victory ought to be so elusive in our Pentecostal services. I mean, I'm as thrilled as anybody else to hear about the great accomplishments of the last 20 years. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to hear about Azusa and Topeka, Kansas. It makes me so glad. It makes me so glad. I almost wish we could reincarnate it and do it again in some of our churches that's lost the fire and the power and the glow and the glory. We've turned it over to a few showmen that stand behind the pulpit, and we allow them to become the Pentecostal entertainment hour. We're thrilled to hear them for about 15 minutes, and then everybody wants a tenderloin. But the truth of the matter is this, Bible, your verse tonight for this tabernacle. Oh, clap your hand, all ye people, and shout with, I'm telling you, it's for us. It's for us. It's for us. Victory's not elusive. Shout for the victory! Victory's not elusive! Clap your hand for the victory! Wow! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When the saints, now listen, I'm fixing to get radical, fanatical. Hey, are you telling me that there's a place in God that I can get that victory shall be mine. If I can just clap about it and shout about it, are you telling me that instead of always being excited about what He's already done, that I can get excited right now about what He's fixing to do inside this house? Oh God, are you telling me that right now, if I got excited about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I could get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Hey, I ain't a marathon around here. I'm not trying to see if I can fill up a 90-minute tape or a 120-minute CD. I'm seeing if we can fill up this tabernacle with enough praise and worship that the next sound you hear is somebody getting healed right here tonight in this house. The next sound you hear is some saint of God coming out of that pew saying, "I feel God." Remember some of them nights before this tabernacle was air conditioned. Woo! Some of them messages that I preached and slung water all over the kids halfway back. I was doing that out of self-preservation. You don't know how good it felt to pour that cold water on my head after I was preaching in this tabernacle hot as a firecracker. But I watched young people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I watched them come out of that seat. I watched them shout into the glory and the inspiration of God. And they wasn't near as comfortable as we are right now. I'm telling you something. Are you listening? They got their mind on the reason for being in this house. And the next thing you know, you forget about everything else. I might be missing it by not continuing on and preaching the message that goes with my text. I might be missing it. But I'm telling you, some of you Pentecostals are so saturated with preaching, you know more about the Strong's Concordance than I do. Some of you folks have heard so much preaching that you know more about the Greek and the Hebrew than I do. Some of us have sat under great pastors and great evangelists. We've come into this tabernacle and had some of the greatest night speakers that's ever trod shoe leather. We've had the preaching. And I'm not going to tell you about the singing. Man, I'd much rather hear them three guys that was up here singing tonight under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost than I had some of them guys at the Grand Ole Opry that Brother Gallagher mentioned in this service. I'd much rather hear that Paul Blanton walk up here on his platform, not one drum, not one bass guitar, him and the Holy Ghost and touched our heart. I'm telling you, we're in the right place to have the greatest night of victory that you have ever had. It's absolutely sacrilegious. It's absolutely carnality on a whole scale for you to be still hung up on tobacco when there's this much victory in this house, and all it depends upon is you coming out of there giving God the credit for an achievement that He's fixing to do. It's absolutely sacrilegious for some of us to sit in here and fight holiness like we do when there's a victorious spirit in this house that can break you out. I must be getting controversial. I lost about half of you on that one. You see, and it's an amazing thing. It's not too difficult for us to all stand up when everybody else stands. And it ain't too difficult for everybody to clap their hands when everybody else does. It's not even too difficult to be hypocritical enough to holler hallelujah when everybody else hollers hallelujah. But try this on for size. Come out of that pit. Come out of that ditch. Come out of your rut. Come out of that attitude. Come out of that feeling. And worship God all the way to a personal victory. Look out. Look out. If you're not careful, I'm going to have to put my fighting face on. Look out. There ain't nothing in this room that a worshiping saint of God can't get from God tonight with just a little bit of effort of praise and glory and belief. There ain't nothing, you hear me? Don't think it's strange if you hear somebody in this quiet part of the service hollering hallelujah. Think it's strange if every Holy Ghost believer in this house ain't a hollering hallelujah. Think it's strange if this service doesn't erupt into hallelujah. Hey, I'm not a bit worried when somebody comes out there and feels like doing something. I'm worried about a generation that don't feel like doing nothing. Whoa! I'm worried about a church world that's forgot how to shout. Now you listen to me close. You listen to me close. For every deadhead in this house that believes that shouting is shallow, I'm telling you, only people that live there, only people that live there all the time can diagnose that case. As for me in my house, I found out the deep calleth the deep. I found out that there is a river whereof the streams of God make glad. I found out. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you in this house. Did I ever tell you what the title of my message was yet? Victory. Victory. Shout with the voice of victory. Shout with the voice of, hey, listen, so you may in your church at this very moment be as dry as last year's bird's nest. Hey, you're in a service right now that can change that with just a few shouts of victory. I don't know how long it's been since the Holy Ghost fell on you and you came out of there speaking in other tongues, but He is as close as you shouting victory. Sister, I'll probably have to preach this message tomorrow night. I can tell from some folks' expression, I'm going to have to preach the text, but I ain't going to preach it tonight. I'm telling you, Paul said, I haven't come with great enticing words of man's wisdom. I've come in the demonstration of the Spirit. How long has it been visit your children. Watch you shout under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. How long has it been since some of you young people have shouted under the Lord? Look out. Look out. You're going to carbon date yourself. Look out. We dinosaurs of the holiness movement. Look out. Our definition of shouting is somebody dancing, leaping, running, cutting a sachet out in the aisle. That's just the definition that us Pentecostal people have put upon the word. The word shout actually just means a joyful cry of victory and deliverance. A joyful cry of the glory of God. If you've got something in this house to be happy about, I want you to shout, Hallelujah! Whoa! Whoa! Oh my goodness! Woo! Somebody can get the Holy Ghost while we're in one mind and one accord in this place! Somebody can get the victory! Right now! If I wasn't so convinced that the same Holy Ghost that sent me to Jersey with Psalms 103 sent me in this place tonight with Psalms 47, if I wasn't so absolutely convinced about that, I'd hang the microphone up and just say to myself, Self, you should have shot all the bullets in your gun while you had a chance. But I'm going to tell you how convinced I am. I'm convinced enough right now that if a husband and wife standing in this room can't look each other in the eye and truthfully say you've been living as good as you can live, seeking God as good as you could seek Him, feeling victory as good as you could feel Him, I'm going to be so bold as to tell you, if you're holding a baby, don't use it as a security blanket. If you're standing back there with something in your hands, put it down. I'm going to tell a husband and wife, if they'll step out in the aisle, clap their way down to the front, and shout about the glories of God, you can have a victory before you walk out of this house. If it won't work, I don't know what we're here for. Shut out the lights and let's forget it. But I'm telling you, there is victory in the house. You've sat in your church pew till you're dead as a hammer. The oak on the seat is starting to form a knot around your favorite place. Altar calls are given and you never move. Revivals are had and you never move. Conviction falls in the house and you never move. But I got news for you tonight. You may not move, but I want you to feel bad about not. Because in this service right now, somebody could step out into an aisle, start clapping their hands about the glory, start shouting hallelujah, and by the time you get down to the front, you could have revival! Now, Brother Hyde, don't box yourself in a corner. Oh, hush. I do some of my best preaching when I'm a boxing over in the corner. I'm telling you on the authority of God's Word, on on the authority of the Word of God that I read to you tonight in this house, on the authority of everything that's written in these holy pages. God will do what He said He will do if you do what He asked you to do. You've sought the Holy Ghost 20 years. Come out of there tonight with your hands up. It's your night. You've sought the victory for 20 years. Come out of there now. It's your turn. You've sought the glory of God. Come out of there right now. I'm not going to come back there to you. I'm not going to call you out. The Holy Ghost is tapping you on the shoulder. You know as well as anybody in this house if you've lost the glory. You know better than anybody if you've lost the praise. You know better than anybody if you don't rally like you used to. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. She ain't. But somebody is. You're going to miss it. You're not to get the Holy Ghost. You're not to get the filling of God. You're not to get your healing. You're not to have revival. This message ain't for Jersey. This message ain't for rich lands. This message ain't for southern Ohio or southern Missouri. It's for this service. Right here, right now. Somebody, come over there with your hands up. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garment. Woo! Have your way, Holy Ghost, in everybody right now that's shouting hallelujah. My God, my God, I expect it to break out in the back of the house. My God, my God, I expect it to break out in the middle aisle. My God, my God, I expect you to look in our direction. Woo! In honor of this tabernacle, that's making a joyful noise. Woo! I expect to hear a young lady holler hallelujah and a teenage boy shout glory! We've got old-time preachers up here seeking a touch of victory. We got young men seeking the victory. Listen to me, you in the back. If you're standing here and you ain't got the victory, clap your hand and holler hallelujah and watch what God does. Slap your hand. Slap your hands. Woo! Slap your hands. Woo! Ears spreading hallelujah! is a dancing in the spirit. Be alarmed if they're not. Don't be alarmed if somebody is acting unusual. Be alarmed if we don't. He's all over me, and he's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Let's try this. He's God on the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over the floor. There ain't no place in this house that you're standing right now that he can't give you the victory. If you want it! You can't hear him. So I'm going to interpret for you. Are you listening? You can't hear him, so I'm going to interpret for you. He's a hollering. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. If the Lord is a respecter of person, then he's the only guy tonight in the house to get it. But if he ain't, what if you just went to saying, thank you, Lord, for the victory? What if you just tried it right where you're standing? Right where you're at, thank you, Lord, for the victory! Do we really have this many Pentecostal people hollering victory at the same time? Do we really have a Monday night crowd hollering victory at the same time? Wow! This is how it's supposed to feel! Woo! There's a deep, settled peace abiding in my soul since I have found my friend. Divine, what's the other part? He from sin has done something. And joy's o'er me flow. Victory today is mine. Victory! Victory! Victory is mine! I have it in my soul since Jesus took control! Woo! Victory is mine! Now what? Is this where you hand the microphone to the chairman? Or to the guy that's in charge of the church service? Or is this where we all grin great big and know that the Holy Ghost is just going to touch another wave, and the next thing we hear and feel will be an entire another batch of folks saying, I see that it's alive. I see that holiness is well. I see that the Pentecostal experience is right. And I've sat in my church way too long and not enjoyed the benefits of the glory of God. Woo! I'm going to do it. Are you ready? Yeah, I am. I really. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I used to be just where some of you are at. And it always took two or three good pulls to get me to shake loose and get what I need from God. So here it is. Are you ready? If you're anywhere in this tabernacle right now and your eyes and your heart sees that the glory of God is in this house to do a work, but your mind and your spirit is heavy laden right now, here's a good opportunity for you to come out of that seat where you're at, lift your hands and say, this is going to be my night, this is going to be my camp meeting, this is my revival. Somebody else back there, come on out. Come on, teenage boy. Don't stand there looking around being macho. Step out in the aisle and have a revival. Come on, Daddy. Don't stand back there and look pious. Step out into the aisle and have revival. Listen to me careful. Something else is going to happen here later. But I want you to listen to me careful. There are nights at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle when I am aware that the Holy Ghost is moving in the house. I'm aware some people's natures are a little more reserved, and they're a little more shy, and they're a little more subdued. I can't make you act like me. I don't want you to. Thank you. Ain't you glad? We can't all act like each other. I don't want you to. But this is what I do sometimes at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle. And it's never failed for God to touch the church and reward us openly. Are you listening close? You don't have to get out of your pew. You don't have to step out into an aisle. You don't have to do anything. Just right where you're standing now, raise your hands and look to God and either take a step to the left or the right. You don't have to step out far. Just move barely right where you're at right now. I'm not being crazy here. If this is charismatic, I'm not trying to be charismatic. I just want everybody in this tabernacle to take a step left or right. Just one. Just little one. You don't have to take a big one. Just little one. Just little one. I just want God to look down in this service and see that everybody in this room was willing to move a little so God would move a lot. I just want heaven to look down in this room and see on this Monday night that this area fellowship, that this area tabernacle was willing to take a step to the left or a step to the right, that somebody in this house could have the victory and the glory of God. Woo! Oh, you that are worshiping, keep worshiping. We've got folks that's moving. We've got folks that's a-changing. We've got folks that's a-shifting. Holy Ghost of God, look at a hungry tabernacle and pour your spirit out. Oh my God, this many Holy Ghost filled believers moving. This many Holy Ghost filled believers. This many pastors and churches. This many evangelists and deacons. This many song leaders and wives. This many Sunday school teachers and children. This many people in this shady area all moving at the same time, showing God that we're willing to step out of where we're at, take a little move closer to the throne room of grace, find help in the time of need. Husbands moving, wives moving, grandparents moving. We're fixing to have a revival.